We're in a series, it's called What's Love Got to Do with It? And the series is basically to show us that as followers of Jesus, we're not just called to share our faith with people who don't yet follow Jesus and then come to church on Sundays. I'm going to be speaking today from Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 29. If you want to grab a Bible, it's on page 1110, which is 1110. Yeah? See you in maths. So these things are important. Sharing our faith with people who don't yet follow Jesus and coming to church are important, but other things are important for followers of Jesus too, because being a follower of Jesus is a 24/7 life. And so it also includes the humdrum aspects of our day. So far we've looked at how we can be followers of Jesus during our weekly shop, when at work, and when we meet people on the street. And today it's on our daily commute. Now commuting is a modern concept. It has an old legal meaning, and I've got London's greatest lawyer to explain what commute used to mean. There we are. So the word commute usually originally meant to make something less severe. But in 1838, where's Pam? Where's Pamela? In Boston, Massachusetts. Pam, how does someone from Boston, Massachusetts say Boston, Massachusetts?
Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh. You see, it's so much better than coming from this common voice, isn't it? In Boston, Massachusetts, in 1838, if you rode the train to work every single day of the week, the Boston and West Worcester, it's American, probably pronounce it Worcester. Worcester. The Boston and West Worcester Railroad Company would give you a discount. The company commuted fares for people, if you rode it every day, for regular customers, they made the fares less severe. And so those people who'd had their fares commuted became known as...
commuters.
Boom! Now, does anyone here actually enjoy commuting? You see, thank you, it's what, a couple of hours. So when I told Jen what I was going to speak on, Jen said, I think you might find you're the only person that hates it, Paul. In which case, everyone's like looking at me as I rant about commuting. But thankfully, I'm not the only one. Long commutes are not good for our health. Does anyone here have a commute that's longer than an hour a day? Yeah? How long's yours? It's how long?
Hounslow.
That's so west of London, I couldn't put it on a map. Okay, anyone else have a commute longer than an hour a day? Right, so the 2017 Commuting and Wellbeing Study found that every extra minute of commuting time reduces job satisfaction, reduces leisure time satisfaction, increases strain and reduces mental health. Now, we don't all commute in the usual sense of the term. You know, some school kids can have like a long journey to school, but I've never heard them described as commuting to school. You don't do it if you're not in work. You don't do it if you're pensioners. So what does it mean? How have I interpreted commute if we don't all do it? Well, I'm asking how, or perhaps should, we behave as followers of Jesus in the tedious, monotonous, dull aspects of our day-to-day routine. Those parts of our day that make us go... they're uninspiring and unexceptional. How should our relationship with God approach mundane daily tasks? How are we to live a Christian lifestyle, to be Christ-like, during regular moments of tedious monotony? Does anyone actually get excited when they've got to post a letter or a parcel when you get to the post office and there's a long queue? Or we've got to call up the council. I had to call up the council last week. We had a blocked drain. Does it make you feel great? Woohoo! Council time. No. You've been waiting. I'm sure this has happened to all of us at one point. You're waiting at a bus stop for 30 minutes and then someone comes and stands right at the front of the queue. How does that make you feel? Are you smiling? Or you get to Mile End Station, you're running late. Mile End Station's closed. Are you in a good mood? Is this really all a part of God's plan? In these times, what do we do? Do we tune into God? Do we pray? Do we thank him? How do we act? What do we do? Let's read this passage. So it's from Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to be starting at verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve means to make sad or cause distress to. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So, don't say anything that's rude, unkind or damaging, but do say things that help build people up. Empty yourself of bitterness and anger. Don't have a desire to fight or tell lies about people, but rather do show compassion, forgiving people when they wrong you. And why should we do this? Because God has forgiven us all the things we've done wrong, what the Bible calls sin, and because he's given us his Holy Spirit as a sign and proof that we're in a relationship with him, and we don't want to make the Holy Spirit sad. Reading this list, it sounds easy and obvious. I could just stand up here, read these verses and sit down, because they are self-explanatory commands. The problem is, even though we might have been followers of Jesus for decades, we still find them so hard to follow. I hate commuting to work. When I get up, I want to get to work as quickly as possible. When I get home, when I finish work, I want to get home as quickly as possible to get on with my life. My daily commute can see me at my worst, at my most impatient and least gracious, because commuting in London can suck. When commuting, unwholesome words have come out of my mouth. There has been bitterness, rage, and anger. There's never been brawling or slander thus far, but I have been unkind and I have lacked compassion. So preparing for this talk has been an eye-opener. It's forced me to reflect as a disciple of Jesus on my own behaviour as a commuter in this great city, and it's found me wanting. Andy said in his recent talk, "Most of your life is spent in the ordinary, and it's how we do the ordinary that matters. So if I've got it wrong in the past, in future, what can I learn from this Ephesians passage to better live out a Christ-obedient lifestyle?" Now, as I said, commuting is a modern concept. Jesus travels from town to town in the Gospels, but it's not commuting in the way we'd know it. But as he was travelling from A to B, Jesus always had time for people. People would stop him and he'd make time for them. Jairus, the woman who touched Jesus' robe, the rich young ruler, Zacchaeus, Bartimaeus, all stories in the Gospels. How did Jesus act when he was disrupted while he commuted? Well, he acted with grace. He stopped and he gave time to people. Jesus is the perfect example, but in some ways that's a problem for us because he is perfect. St. Paul is perhaps a better example because, like us, he was human. In fact, Paul met Jesus and was transformed while he was commuting on the road to Damascus from Jerusalem. We read of that in Acts 9. So if a life shed of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, malice and unwholesome talk sounds impossible, we can look at Paul's life when he wrote about it. Because when Paul met Jesus and was filled with God's Holy Spirit, he was changed. So when Paul penned Ephesians, he knew that this life, this radically new, changed life with Jesus is possible. The frustrations of commuting, they're no accident. When we're stuck in the "oh" of the day, if we're stuck in a massively long, unnecessarily long post office queue, if the district line gets stuck for 20 minutes between stations, these things are no accident. God knows where we're going to be. He has put us there at that time, so it's no surprise to him. So what can we do? What does this Ephesians passage say? That we are to say what's helpful for building others up according to their needs. And we are to be kind and compassionate to one another and be forgiving to one another. But we're human. We can't act like this on our own. We need God's help. We're called to get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, and negative, destructive emotions. This is big stuff. We're followers of Jesus, but we are human beings. We're not perfect. We're flawed. Getting rid of is a proactive term. So proactive means you work for something to happen. You don't just sit there waiting for it to happen to you. I've tried to work out how many sermons I'd heard in my life. My first church service, I was 7 days old. So I think it's something, I've been in something like 5,000 services, I think I worked it out, which is a lot. And of those 5,000, I can probably actually only remember an absolute handful of them. But one of them did happen here. And it was Miriam Drake, who, if you were here 10 years ago, you would know. And Miriam stood here and she said that she was concerned that she lacked patience. And so she prayed. I think it was here. It might have been in our Bible study group. But anyway, that's not really that important, is it? And she lacked patience and she was frustrated about that. And so she prayed that God would give her patience. And she waited for the patience to descend on her. And so what happened in the 2 weeks after that, God sent her so many irritating people, one after one after one after one after one. And so through those occasions, God worked on her incrementally. And so at the end of these real long line of really irritating people, God had developed in her patience. Thankfully, we're not alone. The passage says that as followers of Jesus, we have God's Holy Spirit living inside of us. So verse 30 said, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed on the day of redemption." It says don't grieve him. Don't ignore him. Don't make him sad. We must not ignore the Holy Spirit's gentle prodding, chastening, transformative power. We must not ignore that feeling in our hearts and in our guts when God is telling us to do something or perhaps not do something. And as the Holy Spirit changes us, day by day, we become more like Jesus Christ. We are works in progress. We are saved sinners. These verses show just how much we need God to change us and help us to change, because only God can change our hearts. We must stay in contact with God, to pray when we're frustrated, asking that God give us peace and to help us to be forgiving. I think I might have told this story before. About 15, 20 years ago, I was in the outback in Australia. Anyone been to the outback in Australia? Yeah? Were you like in the middle of nowhere? Are you scared? Yeah. And so the person had driven us this bus, and we had to collect firewood for that night's fire. And she said to us, "Go and collect firewood. We're going to build a fire. Do not go where you can't see the van." She said, "Because if you go and you can't see the van, you will get lost and you will die." And so what did we all do? Go whisper it to me. Stayed inside of the van. We stayed inside of the van. When I'm frustrated with the commute or just downright bored, I must proactively remember Jesus. And it's no mistake that I am where I am at that time. Despite the tedium of the moment, I should pray that God gives me opportunities to say something helpful for building someone up and show kindness and compassion. To be Christ-like, just in Christ God forgave me. If we read one verse on beyond the end of this chapter, we'd obviously find ourselves in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, where it said, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." We should be following Christ's example and be a people who show love, and that includes when we're stuck on the central line. Lastly, what are we filling our minds with when we commute? When I'm focused on the irritation of commuting, my mind is not focused on God. When my mind is focused on God, I'm not focused on the irritation of commuting. I've had really good commutes in the last fortnight because I've had this talk constantly going around my head as I've been praying and working it through. You know, and long may that continue. Not this sermon continue, but long may the thoughts continue. I'm going to end this talk by rereading the passage from Ephesians in a different translation. I was looking for an easy-to-read translation of the Bible so I can read with Nate. And I came across the Easy English Bible. And so this is what it says in the Easy English Bible. "Do not say bad things that hurt people or insult people. Instead, say only good things. Say only good things that will help people. Your words should help people become strong when they hear them. Do not do anything that will make God's Holy Spirit sad. God gave his Holy Spirit to you to show you that you belong to him. As a result, you know that God will make you completely free one day. Do not be jealous of other people. Do not become angry or shout at them. Do not quarrel with other people or insult them. Do not do anything or say anything that will hurt other people. Instead, help one another and be kind to each other. Forgive one another. Remember that God has forgiven you because of what Christ has done. Let's pray. God, I'm so sorry I've got it wrong in the past, and help me through your Holy Spirit's power to be a better commuter. And please, in our situations as we go around day by day, give us moments and occasions where it's so obvious that you are putting moments and people and situations in our path where we can do what we are supposed to do as servants of you. Amen.